great future. We're talking real money.
I just finished posting the first hour of the weekend show, and now it's time to do the Tuesday version of Talking Real Money Daily. Hi, everybody. I'm Don McDonald. This is the podcast where we cover some interesting financial money, particularly investing issues. Take your calls at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we've now added the word of the day. And we do it all in 15 minutes or less. Hopefully less. Maybe a lot less. Today I want to talk a little bit about death. Not death of people, but we all do it, but I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about another form of death, and that is death of a business. Not death of a salesman. Death of a business. Businesses die, just like everything else. And the reason I bring this up is because we had a relatively major historical business event occur today, in that the board of Sears Roebuck and Company, or Sears, now it's not Sears Roebuck, it's like Sears, which is really Kmart. Kmart and Sears. They decided that they were going to liquidate. They're just going to sell themselves off. And I take that in with very mixed emotions. Reason they're mixed is because in my 20s, my late teens and 20s, I spent a very large chunk of my life, and back when you're in your 20s, you know, 9 years seems like forever. I spent a lot of time working with Sears in various capacities. I mean, one of my first jobs out of school was working for a parts buyer in the Sears Tower in Chicago, Department 622. That was the stove department. And I remember the first microwaves were just coming out, and it was kind of exciting. Then I moved to Colorado, and I transferred into the service department as a parts clerk. Then I got a couple of other odd jobs, and a few years later, I was hired as a stockbroker by a division of Sears called Dean Witter. My mom was a Sears personnel director in the tower. And of course, back in those days, if you bought clothes, if you bought jewelry, if you bought appliances, if you bought tools, if you bought furniture, if you bought almost anything except groceries, where did you buy it? You probably bought some of it, at least, in Sears. And it is kind of sad to see something go away, to see a big change. But I haven't been in a Sears store in way longer than the total time I worked for Sears. It's been way over 10 years since I walked in a Sears store. I hardly even walk by them. So things die. It's sad, but things die. And it's required that things die to ensure us a robust economic future. I mean, think about it for a minute. In the place of Sears, which made a lot of sense in its day when it was a catalog and then it was a store in a catalog, in its place, we have a whole new way of buying things. Today, for example, I bought a new coffee, a new espresso maker. I ordered it online. I didn't leave my studio. I ordered it right here online, and it'll be arriving at my door in a few hours. That's a whole new way of buying products, and that is inevitably going to disrupt business, and it's going to bring about the demise of a lot more in the retail industry. We're not done yet. There will be a place for all kinds of new specialty, niche retailers, but old-fashioned retail, its days are numbered, like it or not. But when one business dies, more innovative and productive businesses tend to take its place. And the result of that is, or at least has been in the past, we always have to talk in the past tense, it has been booming, increasingly rapid economic growth, the kind of thing our species has enjoyed for as long as we have walked this planet. Think about it. The economy of the earth has grown regularly. Just like when human beings die, the next generation of human beings does bigger, better things. There are more of us. We accomplish more. We also accomplish bad stuff. Yes, this is the good side of us. Yes, it is a tragedy for those who are currently working in Sears. But it's a reasonably robust economy, and most of those people, in most cases, they weren't the best paying jobs. They will find other jobs. And if anyone out there tied up a sizable portion of their life savings in Sears stock, well, they're going to lose a lot of money. But folks, I hate to tell you this, but you should have known better. There's no way you should concentrate your assets in any one company. I remember back when I worked for Sears, my entire employment 401k plan was in Sears stock. Dumb. But a lot of us are dumb. Here's the lesson from the death of Sears. It should remind you, as so many other businesses going away should have reminded you, that real investors, people who are investing, not gambling, must own the entire economy of the planet, because owning the entire economy of the planet is about as foolproof as anything can be. Short of a global conflagration, how could you possibly lose your entire investment if you own the whole planet? And remember, if you had owned, or if you own the whole planet today, you'd have a little money in Sears. You're going to lose it. Can't do anything about it. But you would have had far, 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 far more money in that company I ordered through today called Amazon. So invest the right way, and you don't have to worry about events like this. 855-935-TALK. That is a phone number you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to ask money questions that I will answer here on this podcast that is now a daily thing. We're just catching up with the calls we've had over the past couple of weeks, and we could sure use a few more. 855-935-TALK. Leave your question on the electronic gadgetry that's the internet, and we'll get those answered here on the show. And let's go to our only question for the day.
Yeah, I'd just like to know what your thoughts are regarding investing in precious metals like the gold bars or the silver dimes, what the thought process is with that versus mutual funds, other type of investments. Thank you.
This is a question that comes up a lot. I hate precious metals. I hate precious metals. I hate precious metals as an investment. The only precious metal I own is this band on my finger that is made of white gold and yellow gold. That's the extent of my precious metals investment. Why don't I have more money in precious metals? Gold, silver, whatever it might be. Because it is not an investment. We were talking a little bit earlier about Sears and Amazon. Those grew. I mean, even Sears, think about it. At one time, it was the largest retailer in the world. It grew from a guy selling watches in a catalog to the biggest retailer in the world. As of today, by the way, the market was up today quite a bit. As of today, Amazon, or at least as of yesterday, I don't know if it stuck. I think it did today. Amazon's the biggest company in the world by market value. Those things grow. Gold doesn't grow. Think about it for a minute. The global economy of 2,000 years ago compared to the value of the global economy today, which would you rather have? An ounce of gold from 2,000 years ago that was just a rock, not a coin. If it was a rare coin, yes, it would be worth a lot because of its rarity. But it was just a rock, a gold rock that existed 2,000 years ago, and they're still there. When you dig one up, it was probably there 2,000 years ago. That gold rock back in the time of the Romans would have purchased X number of potatoes. Today, it would purchase about the same number of potatoes. It makes no sense as an investment. It is a pure gamble. It serves no other useful purpose. It's worth something because we all agree it's worth something, but it's not creating value. It's not creating wealth. It's not creating income. It's not creating anything. Why own it? There's no good reason. Unless you like how it looks, you can make jewelry. And who's to say in the future it's going to be worth anything? I mean, the Bitcoin people are saying, Bitcoin, that's the new gold. Well, I don't think it is, but they say that. The Aztecs, they used vanilla beans and cocoa beans as currency. They thought gold was just something to play around with and decorate themselves with. doesn't necessarily have any value, and it certainly can't grow. Now, yesterday, oh, I want to give you the number again, 855-935-TALK. Call anytime. That number works all the time. Now, last thing, the word of the day. Yesterday, we started with the most obvious word, and that was stock. What's a stock? Well, today, we're going to stay in that same genre. What's a bond? It's really simple. A bond is an IOU. A company or a government or whomever borrows money from you. They sell you a bond and they agree, like any other borrower, to pay you back in a certain amount of time with interest. That interest is what makes the bond valuable, because the bond in and of itself does not become more valuable over time. You borrow $1,000, you borrow it for 10 years, in 10 years you're going to get $1,000 back. But in the interim, you're going to get your 5% interest. So every year, that $1,000 is going to pay you $50 in interest. So over 10 years, you're going to get $500 in interest and your $1,000 back. The $500 in interest was repayment for the lack of money. You didn't have that money. You couldn't use it for that period of time. And for the risk you're taking that you might not get paid back. So something yielding 5% is relatively low risk. The higher the interest rate, generally speaking, the higher the level of risk, which is why short-term government paper yields 2%. Long-term government paper yields more like 3%. But junk bonds, long-term junk bonds, can yield 10 or 11% because the risk is higher. So a bond, basically, it's an IOU. You give somebody money, they give you an IOU called a bond, and they agree to pay you interest over the term of that note and pay you back at the end. Once again, give me a call anytime on Talking Real Money Daily to talk about the money issues that really do make you crazy. If you're looking at different types of investments and how they work, if someone is talking to you about doing something with them, get another opinion. It doesn't cost anything. And if you've noticed, if you've been listening, we don't try to sell you anything during the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Give me a call, 855-935-TALK. And remember, all kinds of good stuff is available right now at our website, talkingrealmoney.com. You've got advisor interview forms. You've got our risk quiz. You can set up an appointment to talk to one of our advisors, and it's absolutely free. There's no obligation. We want to help people. And if we get clients, great. But if we don't, we still want to help you. That's why we do all this. Take care. Thanks for being here. And go check out all the other podcasts. I'm Don McDonald.
Talking Real Money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.